you very much indeed, Mrs. Clinton, for letting me come and talk to you. Please could you tell me for the tape your full name and your date of birth?
My full name is Beatrice Mary Clinton. My date of birth is the 18th of the 6th, 38.
Thanks very much. And I believe you've been working in the island's guest houses for much of your working life.
Yes.
Amongst other jobs.
Yes.
And could you please tell me a bit about your first job, what it was like, how old you were at the time, and who you worked for?
Well, my very first job, when I left school, I went up to Ballymona to work. And I worked up there for 5 years until I got married. And it was an interesting enough job because you used to have the patients, as they were called then, coming out to work with you, like, you know, the ones that was all right and used to work with you. And it was a good enough job. And I used to have to, I lived in, like, you know, so.
And was that an all year round job?
Yes, yeah.
So that would be.
And you used to work quite a few hours in them days as well, like, you know. It was hard work. It was really hard work. Not like they are today, like, you know, they don't know what work is.
And then, obviously, when we're thinking about the tourist industry, you then finished at Ballymona and went to work for Mrs. Collister in Derby Square.
Yes. I worked in there for about a year. And she was originally from Switzerland, Mrs. Collister. But he was Manx, like, you know, the husband. And she was very nice to work for. And I used to work in the morning and then go back down at night time, like, you know, it was like split duty type of thing. Because by this time I had a baby, like, as well, so I had to work him in between me going out to work, somebody to mind me and what have you, so.
So that was why you had to leave the job at Ballymona, because of your family commitments?
No, I got married. I got married and then baby come along and then I went out to just earn a few pennies, like, you know, to keep us going.
And after Mrs. Collister, you went on to Farran Street.
That's right. And I was there for about a year as well. And she was an older lady I went to work for. And it was, I enjoyed it, like, but she used to pick on my eldest son a little bit, and that got me down. But you had to stick these jobs out to get the extra money, so that was it. But I wasn't sorry, like, when the summer was up, like, for me to finish.
What was it like having been used to a job all year round at Ballymona,
mm-hmm.
going to change to just working for the summer? Did you like it? Did you not like it?
Well, no, I didn't mind it at all because, as I say, I had the baby and me time was taken up. In them days, you didn't have a washing machine or that, so you done all your washing by hand and kept your house going. So you literally, you know, your day was taken up in that respect. So it didn't bother me. I used to enjoy it, to be honest with you, just working part, you know, for the summer and then finishing. It was nice.
And was there a lot of competition for the jobs of the type you were doing? Say, for example, some people brought Irish people over, some were mm-hmm. local. I mean, did you always get what you wanted, or was it hard sometimes?
Well, to be quite honest with you, I never went out looking for any of the jobs. They always come to me. So I didn't actually go out looking for a job. It was the people used to come, they'd hear about me, and then they used to come and ask me to see would I go and work for them, and that was how I come to work for them, like, you know. My name used to just go along the line somehow or other. I don't know how, but this is what used to happen. But I mean, I was glad of it because we needed the money, because we weren't, you know, overrun with money type of thing. Didn't have plenty of it, so we were glad of the money, like, to keep us going. In them days, you didn't get no family allowance for your first child or nothing, not like they do today. So to keep your head above water type of thing, you had to go out and do a
Would your friends have been doing similar type of work?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mind you, some of them, they might have been doing nursing or something like that, but there again, I had nobody more or less to mind the young fella at the time, and he used to have to come with me any job, and then when I got the other two, they used to come with me as well, when I'd take them with me if I had nobody to mind them, like, you know. They were never one of these, they were never left, like, latch kid children, as they call them these days, you know. I was always there for them, to that they weren't left.
And your employers didn't mind you bringing the kids generally?
No, no. They used to get told this before I'd done any work, that my children always come first. And if they wanted me, they had to be part of it. But they were good behaved. They were well behaved and that. So I didn't have nothing. You know, in that respect, I was all right.
So the hotel we're most interested in, the Savoy, you started there in 1965, something like that.
Well, it was around about that time, yes. Yeah.
Can you tell me how you came to work at the Savoy?
Well, Ronnie and Mary Rigby, who owned the Savoy, well, they were friends of my husband's, and they had a bad summer the year before, and they thought about me, maybe I'd like to go down and work for them. And they come up to the house to see could I go out in the summer time to work for them. And luckily, at that time, my mother had come down to live with me for a couple of years. So she was able to mind the children. By this time, I had three children. And the youngest was just a year old. So my mother, good enough, she took the mind of the children while I went down. I worked from, I think it was about 9 o'clock or 3 in the afternoon in them days, because that was hard work. And because it used to be really busy, not like it is now, like, you know.
So were you always working in the still room, or was that just one of many jobs you did at the Savoy?
I was mostly in the still room. I did a bit later on, and used to go down and help Mary to spring clean right down through the hotel before it opened. And then went at the end of the summer, we used to do it from top to bottom again. And I mean, it was literally getting done. Wardrobes, drawers, windows, skirting boards used to all get scrubbed. And it was really hard work. But we used to do it between us, the two of us. And we used to take the big velvet curtains that was up at the windows. We used to take them outside and we used to shake them all, then put them on tables, lay them out on tables, put brown paper in between them all, and they'd be put away there for the winter time. And then when they'd be ready to take it, we used to take them all out and do them again and put them up after we'd scrubbed down again, like, you know. But so it was hard enough work.
So would you be one of the last members of staff to leave at the end of the season with helping to do the hotel ready for the winter? Or?
Oh, yes, I was always the last to leave, yes, yeah. I'd be on, everybody else would be gone and I'd be still there, like, to help Mary.
If you don't mind me asking, and just for the historical record, what were they paying you when you first started in 65?
Oh, I think it was about, I'm not quite sure, I mean, it's a long time ago, I'm not quite sure, but it was about £20 a week or something. That they were good to pay, they were. So I'm not quite sure, but I think it was about that, yeah. And we were just one big happy family, like, you know, everybody, we all got on famous, like, you know.
Can you tell me, what would your working day be like if you were to just sort of go through in your memory, say, when you went in the morning, mm-hmm. What would your working day go like?
Well, I wasn't there for the full day, like, you know, but when I first started, it was really hard because there was the old wooden sinks and that in them days, you know. And you'd done all the cutlery and that, washed it all in, you know, the fish frying baskets that you get in the chip shop when we used to have them. We used to do all the cutlery, shake it in the big sink and all that, you know. It was really hard work. And when I used to go down first thing in the morning, I used to go out and do the steps. Then I was doing the lounge. And then I'd be in helping to put the breakfast out. And then I'd be doing the dishes. But I'd have somebody there to help me, like, you know, as well. There'd be somebody there working with me, like, you know. But then I would come home about 11 o'clock. And an odd time, I'd go down to do the lunches. This was later on, like, this wasn't when I first started out. And this was later on getting towards, up in the 70s, I would think, you know, by this time.
So you'd work that morning stretch to about 11 o'clock?
Yeah.
And then would you come home?
I'd come home because the children would be coming home from school and I'd give them their lunch. And if I was, one year I might have to go back at 1 o'clock till 2 until the lunches were over, because in them days they got they got a lunch, and I mean, it was a dinner, not just a lunch, it was a full dinner, and then they got another full dinner at night time again. So there was a lot of work involved in all this, like, you know. But
would you go back for the afternoon?
No.
Or the evening?
An odd time, I used to go back down for the evening. I used to go down an odd time. If it was really, really busy, I used to go back at at the night time as well.
And what would be the particular part of the hotel, the rooms that you'd be working in?
I was always up in the, as they call it, the still room, where they put the meals out, because the meals used to all come up from down the kitchen on a little lift. We used to put, there was a big bamboree there, and we used to put the stuff in the bamboree, put the meat and stuff on top and cover it over with a big lid, because there was water in it, like, you know, to keep the stuff hot. And then used to help, as before, I used to help to serve the soup out, and I used to help to serve the meat and the all the, you know, the stuff. Mr. Rigby would be there with me, like, and we'd, and sometimes at night time, if it was the, you know, the full, if it was a bit extra to have to go on the plates, Mary would come up and she would be there, would be the three of us putting all the stuff on the plates, you know.
And would you go out into the dining room to serve?
No, I only done that a couple of times when there was nobody there, you know, maybe.
So would you be putting it out to a hatchway?
I'd be just putting it out, and the staff, no, there was no hatchway, the staff would just stand the other side of the bamboree, the waiters, like, and they'd be just taken from there and taken straight in, like, you know. So
What would you wear? Would you have, would the Rigby provide you with a uniform, or
did
you wear general?
No, we just had our own clothes and tabards we wore. Yeah. We just buy our own, like, you know, there's no uniform at all.
And who else
would the waiters, they did. They had the full white coat, wasn't it, and the black pants and the dicky bow and the white shirt. They were very smart. They were, yeah.
Who
they
else
were
would be
like
in
that.
The still room with you?
There'd be another person, you know, in the still room with me. When I first started down, I think I was on my own. But then later on, there would be somebody. Mary used to come up and help me, like, when there was only myself there. And then when later on, they got somebody. Always got somebody. It wouldn't be the same person. Like, we'd different ones over the years, like, you know, and. Oh, we used to have some laughs, I can tell you. I could tell you a few stories, but different ones, but...
tell me a few.
Oh, God, no. No. I couldn't.
Maybe some of the happier moments.
No, that was all the happy moments. I couldn't tell you about them. Some of the laughs we had, like, you know. No.
Would people play practical jokes or anything?
Oh, yes, there'd be different things going on, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, no, it was a very happy time, honestly. We used to have some laughs. Just little things that would happen, like, you know. We wouldn't be pulling anybody to pieces or doing anything like that, but we used to have some really good laughs, yeah. Yeah, we had, we're more like all of a family all together. We were all treated there, Ronnie and Mary treated us all the same. When I first went down, there's been a friend, and I used to say, well, I want to treat the same as anybody else, so I'm just one of the staff, because I didn't want any different treatment, because it's not right, you know, it's not fair on the other ones that come into work, so they used to treat us all as equal, like, you know, so it was very nice.
And were there any particular characters that you remember from the years who were there, people with interesting personalities?
Oh God, I wouldn't dare tell you about them. Would I, Peter? No, I wouldn't dare tell
you. Just to hear a bit about the life and the people that were contributing to it there.
Well, I've had a few queer ones working with me, didn't I, Peter? And I said a few, you know, I don't know how to put it. You better wait that out. He's looking at me. No, we could, there was, I don't know, I couldn't. Just some little things he'd come out with, you know. They weren't queer, it was just the little things he would come out with, and you couldn't help but laugh at it, like, you know. But, I don't know.
So, over the years, how did your job change? You said, I mean, say for example,
well,
how did it change from full board to part?
Well, it changed later on when the people weren't coming over the same, you know, how the tourist trade went down a lot. And then instead of doing a full dinner at lunchtime, that they went on to doing salads and things like that, instead of doing dinners and that. But they had to say, it got to the stage you could, went to half board if you wanted it, or full board, depending on what you wanted. And you had to say if you were wanting to, if you were going to have lunch or you weren't.
Did the Rigbys always employ the same amount of staff, or did they have to cut back on staff as times got leaner later on?
No, I think they had the same amount, and they sent the same amount. They just kept the same.
And do you remember when they first brought the Portuguese staff in and what that was like?
No, they brought the first in. One they brought in when I don't know if there'd been a couple there before I actually started down there or not. I've got a funny feeling there was. But the ones that they did bring in, they were all right, they were great to work with.
Could they speak the English well enough for you to be able to shout a
command? Well, we could communicate if they couldn't, type of thing, But they were marvellous. They picked it up pretty quick, if they couldn't speak it too well, they picked it up. By the time they'd gone home, I think they could speak perfect, better than what we could,
Yeah, what were the best things about the Portuguese staff that you liked working with them?
I don't know. They were just like any other staff, they were.
And were there any particular problems and difficulties you had that you wouldn't have had with Manx people?
No. No, we all got on. It didn't matter who come to work down there. We all got on fine. As I say, we had our few laughs at different things now and again, but we all got on smashing. Everybody did. Well, no, it was a smashing atmosphere down there. I can't. You hear some awful tales, about landladies and landlords and what have you, but they were, or proprietors as they're called, but they were. It was always smashing down there. It was always great to work down there. I'd say I wouldn't have stuck it so long if it wouldn't have been.
How did Ronnie and Mary divide the work of running the hotel between themselves? What were their special jobs?
Well, Ronnie, I think, done the books, didn't he? And he used to do a lot of the decorating before the summer and all this, And then I'd say when the hotel was going, in full, he'd go up and maybe do a bit in the bar, and he'd be in the still room giving help, and then he used to cut all the meat for the meals and everything, because in them days, I think I've told you before, all the meat was cooked. They used to cook it all. There was none of this, lots of the hotels do now. They buy the meat in already cooked. There was none of that. All the vegetables were fresh and everything, up to the last years, and then the frozen stuff started to come in a bit more. But.
And did any visitors ever give trouble and send food back or anything like that? Do you remember any?
Not very often. No, not very often. No, the food used to be very good. Very good.
What sort of things would you be serving up? What sort of meals?
Well, in the mornings they'd have fruit juice, cornflakes, porridge. There'd be bacon, egg, fritters. Orange juice, there'd be prunes. Oh God, is that much to think of? Another would be fried bread and sausages and all this, tomatoes. And then at lunch times when I first started, there'd be roast beef or lamb or ever what. They'd swap it over, they'd maybe lamb something in the at lunchtime, then meat at beef at tea time, and then there'd be steak and kidney pie at lunchtime, and some kind of meat at tea at dinner time at night, as they call it, and it'd be a couple of veg and potatoes, roast potatoes, and that'd be every day.
And did they have a menu that rotated every week or every fortnight, or did they just make?
It did change over a bit. I think it was every fortnight or something like that would be changing over.
And how did the still room link up with the kitchen? I haven't quite got it clear in my mind. So you've got the what was the difference in the jobs and the things they did?
Well, down the kitchen, you see, there was all the vegetables were getting all prepared and everything was getting cooked down there. Whereas that used to get all sent up to where I was working in the still room, and we used to put it all out. Just you'd serve it all out on the plates and that, and wash the dishes, and we'd put the they'd have the cups of tea, everything all went from there, you know, from up the still room into the dining room, all that type of thing happened all upstairs. All the stuff to go in, it used to all come up from the kitchen, and then we used to see to it to put into the dining room, and that's how where the difference was. I done all that, yeah, done the washing up as well. Yeah, that was done all up there.
You said at first you had to do it by hand, but did they get a machine?
Yes, oh yes, yeah, oh God, don't ask me. I can't, to be quite honest with you, I can't remember.
Was
I can't, honest.
Or was it quite late?
No, we had a machine for a few years. I think we had a couple of different ones, like one got a bit better than the other, like, you know. I can't actually remember. It's too far back, like,
food,
you know.
And the food that they were serving, I mean, you see a lot of people eating sort of foreign food now and the curry
no,
and rice.
No, there was none of that.
Did the food change at all over the years they were serving? Did they serve smaller portions, bigger portions?
No, it just stayed. It stayed the same. No, it stayed the same. No.
And did your still room that you worked in, I know Ronnie was a great one for like inventing and changing things. Did he have change it over the years, new machinery or new layout or anything like that?
Well, there was a little bit of new layout, and not much, because it was too. It was a bit on the small side to do too much with, like, you know.
Yeah,
it got all tiled and wash basin put in. There was a new sink put in, and that type of thing, like, you know, because over the years. The wooden sinks were unhygienic and all this type of thing, and they had to be removed, and you had to get all, you know, the modern stuff put in. So, and you even up there, although I was in water all the time, there still had to be a little tiny wash hand basin to wash your hands in, like, you know, and you could hardly get your hands into it. Was that small?
Do you remember that the hygiene inspectors coming, and did they make a visit every year or anything like that?
Well, they used to come. I never seen them. I mean, I was never there when they come round, like, you know, to go over everything, to see everything was all right. But they did used to come over and have a look up and round about to see everything was all right.
And how would you feel at the end of the day? Would you be tired or were you still energetic?
Well, when I was younger, I was energetic enough, yes. you just kept going. It didn't bother you. No, you just got into a routine, and you just kept going, you know. It was and there again, I mean, I wouldn't have walked over from here when I'm living over to the Savoy with having three kiddies in the morning and that, you know, having to get them seen to before I went out or anything. So Ronnie used to come up and pick me up in his car. I wasn't driving at this time. He used to come up in his car, and we wouldn't talk to one another going all the way over the prom, because the pair of us were half asleep We used to wake up properly about 10 o'clock in the morning. You know? We'd just be, hiya, lovey, you know.
What time would Ronnie come and get you?
He'd come about 8:30 to 8:45, and then I'd start.
And would you have your breakfast before you left for work, or would you have...
No, I never used to have breakfast. I could have had breakfast down there, but I never had breakfast. I didn't want it. But we used to have a break about 11 o'clock in the morning. We'd all get around the big table, all of us downstairs. And we'd have Elsie the cook used to make fresh scones and potato cakes and things like that, and we'd all sit down and have that. Very fattening and stuff, like, you know. But when I first went down, they used to do lunch, afternoon lunch. About 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm not quite sure, or 3 o'clock or something, and they used to serve fresh scones and a sandwich and that, like, you know. So Elsie used to do the bacon for the visitors, so we'd always have a few bits of it as well, like, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting, thanks very much.
I don't know what to
take a picture of what it was like. He's just told me lots of stories which she wouldn't record on the tape, but there you are. Never mind.
Do you take me?
Well, thanks very much, Peter, for letting me talk to you as well. Can you just say for the tape, please, your full name and date of birth?
George William Peter Clinton, 26th of the 5th, 29.
Thanks very much. And I believe, Peter, that your mother kept a boarding house on Douglas Head.
Yes, number 3 Torbourne Terrace It was about 8 bedrooms.
And can you tell me how the family came to be involved in that trade?
Well, actually, we lived, and I was born in New Bond Street, which was eventually pulled down. And my mother had taken over a fish business, a wet fish business, from my great-grandmother. And in 1934, when the New Bond Street and surrounding area was pulled down, she got a chance to move into the boarding house up on Torborn Terrace, and that's how we went up there.
And did she buy or did she rent?
She rented it at the time, which a lot of people did. They didn't buy property then, it was more rented. You know. And it was actually gas lighting, because I suppose you would need to the gas works then.
Can you see the building in your memory? Can you tell me what it was like inside?
Inside, yes. You went in and there was a lounge. There was a sort of, well, a dining room lounge in the front, and then a lounge at the rear, and then a kitchen behind that with a big range, and then a scullery and semi-kitchen behind that with the oven and everything in. Then you went upstairs, and on the first landing, you went up 2 steps and in through to a bathroom and then a toilet, and then there was 2 bedrooms there. You went through up 4 stairs, came back along the landing, up 4 stairs, and he went into a big front room, which was a bedroom, and then there was a back bedroom behind that. Then he went up another landing, which you were probably up about 10 or 12 foot, and there was 2 bedrooms, and then up a flight of stairs, and there was the attic, which we used for our own bedrooms in the summer when the visitors were arriving.
I'm going to say, in the summer, did you have to give up your bedroom?
Yes, and walk down with your shoes in your hand so you wouldn't disturb the visitors from the attic, because if you came down the stairs, like, you know, you would the visitors would come down, so you'd walk down with your stairs and down the stairs with your shoes in your hand, and often enough, you'd be confronted, say, at the weekend with visitors coming back up into a new visitors coming back up into a bedroom, you know. It was... We had the same people back year after year, and unfortunately, in the end, they were coming into our own living quarters, you know. So I think we would have done wrong in that respect, you know. But they were the same people, and...
Was it hard? Did it have no privacy for the family, maybe?
That's what I mean, yes. You know, in the end, they didn't realise that they were invading our privacy, but they did. And them days... They used to put supper on for them free of charge. Like, you know, when they come home, they'd have supper ready, and there's a piano there. So, God knows, I've seen my mother up till, say, 2:30 in the morning before the people would go to bed, because they were going on the 9 o'clock boat. But she'd be up herself, say, about 4:30 to meet the first boat in, and put them into the lounge and give them tea and toast until the others had vacated the rooms and the rooms were cleaned, you know. And it was all an all-family concern, because I think at those days to afford the staff would have been probably taking your profits off, you know. But it was busy, and yet I used to love to see them come, and I used to like to see them go in the end. Like,
it was an all-family concern?
Yes, an all-family concern. My auntie and uncle used to help out as well. When they came home from, you know, from work, they'd help out. At the boarding house, getting stuff ready, perhaps veg and stuff for the following day, you know.
And the fish business now, did your mother give that up to take
yes,
the boarding house?
She gave it up to go up there to boarding. It was next to Maggie Curfee's in the fish market, and she took over from my great grandmother, as a great grandmother went old. My grandmother never worked at all in her life, but she took over, and they had I think they had the Village Hotel, which they used to serve, and other hotels along the prom, you know. But she gave that up solely to go up into the boarding house. Like.
What do you think her reasons for doing that were?
I don't know, because possibly, perhaps it was a bit cold and everything. It was always open, winter and summer, you know, and your hands were in cold. It was cold. I never really asked her. I should have done, but I think that's what it was, you know, she thought it would be warmer and she'd meet people and all that sort of thing, more people.
And do you think she enjoyed keeping the boarding house, or was it just work for her?
Well, no, she enjoyed it, But it was hard work. When you're running it on your own and doing everything, you know, off a Monday morning, the boiler would go on and the sheets would go into a boiler in the back, and there was another bath out, a portable bath full of Reckitt's Blue, which went in. And then they'd be out in the air drying, you know, there was no washing machines. And that. Plenty of water because we had a big range and all that sort of thing, but it was hard work. And as they got older, I think they really felt it, like, you know.
What, did she give you any particular jobs to help out with when you were a youngster?
No, I didn't. They were pretty good because my auntie and thing were there. They seemed to do everything, really, you know. They weren't bad at all. Like, the only thing I used to regret was when you'd get the visitors in and you were coming in for your tea, you know, and they'd be there talking to them, you know, talking. And you think, oh, God, if you perhaps even wanted to have some conversation with your parents and that, you know, they'd be visitors in. But, I mean, I couldn't grumble. They were good to me. Like,
It could be a strain on family life sometimes.
I would think so, especially if they were really, if they were really tired. Or my father, with him being a pork butcher, and he used to cook all the meats for Brews and Prospect Terrace, he used to have to get up early in the morning, you see. So I can imagine, you know, at some mornings they were really tired, you know, because some of the visitors, they came there year after year, you know, we'd say there was Scotch wakes, Glasgow wakes, or there was Oldham wakes, there were all these sort of wakes, you know, which had a certain week. And they'd have a party towards the end of it, or the end of the fortnight. And with the piano, they'd be there singing and enjoying themselves. And then they'd perhaps go to bed 2:30, and she'd have to be up early on to get the first boat in, you know. Yes, I think she had a hard enough life, like.
Do you know why she chose Douglas Head?
I don't know. That I don't know. I see, I was only, at the time, I'd be about 5. So I don't really remember why. Whether it just became available. And there was a lovely view from the head, of course, you know. And there was always boats in and out and everything, which kept it interesting. Like, you know. So whether it was that or what, or whether the ones on the pram were too dear, you know, they thought it was a bit dear.
And were you ever tempted to follow her into the business?
Oh, no. No, I was. You see, what happened then, when the war came, the sort of business fell through as such. And even though we had some people after the war, then the property came up for sale. And she moved in with my auntie for a few weeks until she got another house herself. Like, you know, not a boarding house, just an ordinary house. So, I was never a problem. I enjoyed it, but as I say, I was glad to see them going in the end. Like,
you must have seen some interesting characters in the house over the years.
Oh, yes, yes. I can remember a family coming, and the boy took, like, chicken pox or one of these sort of, kind of sheep paddock, you know. Everybody was sort of steering clear. The young fellow was sitting out on a bench seat out in the garden. Because it was... To have anything like that was bad those days. It wasn't just a matter of getting over it in a couple of days, you know. They had a fortnight and everybody was afraid they were going to catch it and take it back home. You know.
How many bedrooms did they have again?
About eight bedrooms. So it was, I think, you know, they'd pay the rates and they'd pay enough for a holiday and all this sort of thing, you know. It wasn't big enough to sort of put a lot in the bank afterwards, but because your father had to keep working, like, you know, and that, so. But it made life probably a bit easier as well. Like, yeah.
What other things were different in your childhood growing up in a boarding house as compared with your friends who were just in an ordinary house?
Oh, that's the point. Probably they had more freedom. We were confined to time, like, you know, meals and everything, you had to sort of eat after everybody else, like, you know, and I suppose some of them had, other people had more money than we did and all this other. We were never rich, yet we were never sort of poor, you know, in that respect.
And was your life very different in the summer and in the winter as a boy?
Well, yes. I probably didn't get out with the rest of... We used to have the Head Road Gang, as they called it. It wasn't really a gang that would cause trouble or violence, but it was a collective children, like, you know, and this sort of thing. And we never got, you never seen a lot of them in the summer when it was in the busy season, but you were always together in the winter, like, you know. So in that respect, and also there was so much going on in the house that you didn't have time to sort of think, so could sit and think about anything, like, you know. There's, and then of course the war came and everything changed then again, you know.
How did your parents manage during the war for money and to keep the house up?
Well, we didn't have anybody in, and obviously what little bit of cash they had and that, you know, and whatever your father got through work. And I think when you're in a butcher, you get a bit of perks in the sense you get a joint perhaps for the weekend, you know, which helped out. But, and also, you could probably have acquired some eggs if there was loose eggs available or something like that, which you couldn't, you know. There was things that came up, and but they got through. It was like having all the surrounding houses. It was like having a family, you know, together. Everybody sort of looked after everybody. You could leave the door open. People would come. I would say to visit you, and the woman next door would knock or ring the bell and say, "Oh, Mrs. Jones has been to see you, and you were out, unfortunately." You know, I brought her in. She had a cup of tea, but then she had to go home. You know, so it was like a family up there in the head. Once you got to the Gasworks Hill, from there up through to sort of Fort William and all that, and there was a golf course, of course, up there, like the where they're building the new Fort Anne. Behind there was a shed, and there was all a golf pro up there called Georgie Rennick's. And
did the people on the head feel different to the people on the prom and the people in Upper Douglas?
Well, probably the people on the prom were a bit higher grade than us, because they got more money in, and also they had some magnificent houses and that, you know. But I don't think so. I don't suppose so. I mean, there was as the years went over, the upper classes moved higher up. I mean, Timwell Street, they reckon, that was all the upper crust at one time, and then you just moved higher up. So you don't... The upper crust was getting farther away from you in the end.
Geographically speaking.
Yes, graphically speaking, yeah.
Interesting. Thanks very much, that really
That's
helps.
Quite all right, yeah.
Thank you.